there. This is Brian and Lynette Wolf.
Hey, everybody. Well, we're very excited to do this call with you guys, go through some leads. We have so many students right now with so much happening that it's a very, very exciting time. And, guys, summer's always a pretty brisk time in the real estate market, so you want to make hay when the sun shines, and that's summertime. So we want to be out there. We want to be getting as many leads as possible right now. And we always talk about being a successful real estate investor, and the two things that you're going to require to be a successful real estate investor is lead flow. You got to have leads coming through. And then number two, you got to be working them, you know, making those closing calls. So if you're doing those two things, then, deals will happen. And we're just seeing it with all of our students now, and it's very exciting.
And we're super excited to be doing the Come to Papa on the monthly Gold Club call. So we're stepping in for our good friend Ron LeGrand. And we did get some lead property information sheets faxed in to us. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to just start right in. We got some really good leads to go over. Thank you for sending them in ahead of time, who faxed them in. I'm going to ask Rashawn to put you in the queue. So hopefully you hit *0, as that's what puts you in the queue. The first one I want to talk to is Robin and Skip. Are you in the queue? Can I get Robin and Skip? Rashawn?
Hi. First on the line, we have Chanel. Chanel, please go ahead.
Oh, Chanel, okay.
Hey, Chanel. Chanel. Hello? Rashawn, do we have our caller?
Sharon, please go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Sharon, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you doing? Good to hear from you. So I got two questions. I got two questions. One was a closing, and one is a deal that I don't know if I've never done it, so I want to ask you. So first of all, I'll ask you about the other deal. A guy called me and said he has a duplex. And he wants me to lease purchase it for him. He's a seller. He rehabbed it, and he wants it. So does the lease purchase work with a duplex?
We usually don't do lease purchase on, multi-units.
Because it doesn't work?
Give me the numbers on the duplex. What does he owe on it?
All right, the duplex, he bought it for $350, put $40 into it, so he's got $390 into it. He got a $75,000 no-interest loan for 1 year, and the rest of it he put through a mortgage.
He's looking for all cash.
He's looking for $50,000 cash. So I told him I don't think that he would be able to get $50,000 on a duplex. I thought that's more than 10. That's like 10% of what he's selling for.
He's
for $510.
We're going to have to get a whole lot less than that. If he's willing to do owner financing and sell us the duplex, we're going to have to get the numbers much lower than that.
Right. He'd be willing to go $450 for it. Even though appraised value would be about $510, but he still wants $50. I told him I couldn't get him $50. $50 would be too much.
What did he say when you told him that?
I told him a way to sell it, but he said, well, he needs the $50. He wants to get $50 so he can go do something else. And he really would like somebody to buy it out in the year. Like, only have a one-year lease.
Yeah, see, I don't like anything. He's not giving you enough equity for you to bend over backwards on this deal. Unless there's a great positive cash flow, and depending on what the tenancy is.
$4,000 is he would get total, $2,000 for each unit.
Okay, and what's the payments on the property? So he's going to give you owner financing if you give him $50.
Yes.
Taking over
I can't see where I can get any money out of it.
Yeah, I can't see any money on this deal either.
Let's move on. Yeah.
Okay, even if you get owner financing, guys, I mean, it's worth it a lot of times, but if you've got somebody who's breathing down your neck who has to be out in 6 months or something, you can't promise that. because you're going to have a lease purchase buyer in there. That's our, you know, standard exit strategy. And if you're going to, there's no way you can promise that you're going to be able to close by that date. And if they're breathing down your neck, it's not worth it. And
okay, because I told him that the only way this would work is if he didn't get any money up front, and I made the just $10,000 on it, and then and he ended up getting, you know, another four times $48,000.
Here's one thing you might want to do. If you can just get this under contract and see if you can do an axe deal, see if you can find out nobody. Okay. Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. You know, Lynette is taking another call. Hang on one second.
Okay.
Okay, go to your next lead.
What was your next question you had, Sharon?
My next question is this. I finally, one of my deals that I did, they exercised their option to purchase within 6 months of closing, and they closed on Friday, but I had a real problem, and I don't know, I was trying to close with my real estate lawyer. They wanted to close with their title company. The title company basically told me that so what I did was I was in the middle, and what I did was I assigned my deal with the tenant buyer back to the owner, and had them release me from my original lease purchase from the owner. But the title company told me that I didn't even have to do that. They didn't even care. They said that as long as I had gotten my $10,000 up front for the option deposit, that I'm out of it. So I had real hassle dealing with the title company. They said that I wasn't even in the middle. They didn't care. They're going to work directly with the seller, and it was a big mess.
Well, that's what we like to close with our real estate attorneys.
Every once in a while, you run into situations where people will be adamant about using their own attorney for the closing or their own title company, and you can battle that as much as you can, but it's not a deal killer usually. And usually,
it almost was.
Things. Yeah, it almost was, but here's the thing. If you... Before you're closing, you need to, really try to develop some kind of a relationship with their title company and try to schmooze them a little bit, try to explain what you're doing, you know, make sure they understand before they just get this paperwork dropped on their desk. Because if they just start looking at it, they may not understand the way we're doing it, structuring it or anything. So that's my tip is just, you know, try to precede them getting your paperwork with a phone call and try to explain it to them and try to find, I would even say, unless they have someone specific they're working with over there, and then try to get the name of the person and talk to them. You know, it's amazing how if you do a little bit of setting stuff up, it saves you, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and that's really true in situations where...
Okay, so they said, do you have a comment on this? They said that my assignment back to the owner was of little use to them, and they did it without me.
Okay, well, here's the thing. This is a complicated deal. Guys, you're not going to be running into this kind of thing. If you want to talk to us one-on-one after this, I'll go into it a little bit more with you.
Karen, can you send us an email? I know you have our email. This is a very complicated deal. We definitely can talk to you, Sharon.
Well, it was just a sandwich deal where I was assigning the tenant buyer's rights directly back to the owner so that he could close the deal with the owner.
Yeah.
Yes, and there is a special way that our attorney does that through the title company. So,
I'll send you an email.
Yep.
And moderator, I had a quick question. I've got some students that are texting and calling us trying to get into the call. They say the call's full. Is that right?
No, the call's not full at all.
Okay.
Okay.
People, are they got the right number?
Yeah.
And everything?
I'll make sure.
Okay.
Okay. Who do we have in the queue?
Okay, next on the queue we have Robin. Robin, please go ahead.
Hi, Robin.
Hey, Robin.
Are you there? Robin? Hello? Maybe it takes a second for the queue, honey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hello?
Hi,
hey.
Robin. How are you doing?
Good, good. Glad you can hear me. I was afraid.
Okay, so I wanted to thank you for faxing in the lead sheet. I want to run through the numbers so everybody can see the numbers. If you guys are all taking notes, deal structuring is the best part of this whole business. When you become a deal structuring expert, that is just a huge quantum leap towards success. So this is the owner, Barry and Kathy. They have a first mortgage, $227,424. And then you've got PITI is $1834. And then a second mortgage, $16,767. PITI is $309. So the combined mortgages equal $244,191. Okay. The ARV is around $400,000. And they told you that when you said, if I were going to pay cash and close whenever you want, what's the least you'd take? They said $286,000. And you said, is that the best they can do? And they said yes. Right?
Correct. Right.
Okay, so on this deal, we talked about it, and you went ahead and called the seller just yesterday, and the seller agreed to letting us take it.
Well, why don't we, Robin, why don't you tell us about it?
Subject to, okay.
Okay, so they want $42,000 cash, basically.
Mm-hmm. That's the difference between 286 and what they owe, which is 244.
Right. So,
they agreed that you could take over the loan subject to the loan would stay in their name. They had no issues with that. You read the closing call script on that.
Right, yeah. They did say that we could take over their payments, yeah. I think they're wanting to keep title in their name, though, which I don't have a problem with. I just don't know for sure which paperwork to do on that.
On a contract for deed, they don't want the title to transfer until they're paid off in full?
Yeah, I believe that's correct. I will confirm that when I talk to them again.
All right. So basically, we need the Superseller Finance closing call script. Honey, you want to go through that?
And this is what you always say to these folks. Now, there are legitimate reasons why people need cash out of a deal, obviously. So sometimes people do need money down to either buy their next property or move on, or some people really need to pay off something. So they need the money. So the first thing you ask them, though, if they're asking for a down payment, you always use the words like commonly, normally, industry standard. We don't generally pay any money down on lease purchases or whatever you're subject to, whatever you're doing. Now, if they're really married to the thing, you say, well, why do you need the money? And so then they'll explain why they need the money for. And as soon as you understand the level of urgency, sometimes they just say, well, I think people should, you know, pay 5% down or 10% down. They just have some number in their head. They don't really need that money. So once they say that to you, then you kind of both acknowledge the fact that they're not dying for the money. Now, if there are certain situations where they need the money, sometimes you need to come up with the money if there's a lot of free equity. But you never come up with money unless there's a lot of free equity.
Which there is, honey, in this scenario.
Yes,
getting
it
286 and the ARV is around 400,000.
Yeah, that's it's over six figures of free equity, so it's absolutely, you know, a great deal. So you don't want to lose out on it, and you don't want to offend the people. But let's say this is a situation where they don't really need the money for anything specific. So this is what we call our Superseller Financing Script. And what you say is, so the difference between what you owe on the property and what you'll sell it to us for is $42,000. And they say yes. And so now the way we usually work that, and so again you're using usually, you know, generally business industry standard, the way we usually work that is we'll pay you off that when we cash out. And then you just say, is that okay? Okay, you know, and just see what they say. And basically you're shooting for $42,000 of interest, no payment, pay you off at some future date, seller financing is what you're going for there. So if they don't really need the money and you just commonly approach it like this. Now, guys, this works for anything from $5,000, $10,000, whatever the spread is between what they're willing to sell it to you for and what is owed on the mortgage that they're giving you subject to. So this is a great deal. We need to figure out the $42,000. But other than that, you know, there's so much free equity in this. Do we know what the cash flow is going to be like?
Yeah, so the payment is $1834 plus $309. So how much did we think that we could get on a lease purchase buyer?
Well, I
got
said
it.
I think we're going for owner financing on this. So,
owner financing. That's what I'm
right.
Yeah, I think we can get at least 3,000 and maybe higher. Yeah.
Oh,
so that
wow.
would be $850 to $1,000 a month.
Okay.
That is nice positive cash flow.
So that's looking. This deal's looking better and better. So, where did we leave it?
You're going to go out and meet with them tomorrow, right, Robin?
Well, I'm going to call them tonight and make them the offer that we came up with. And then if they say, okay, we're going to try to go tonight and get it signed. Get the
That's
contract
great.
Signed.
Hey, I always say, you know, strike while the iron is hot. You know, time is of the essence. And I'm telling you, we have lost out on deals because we said, okay, well, tomorrow, we'll see you tomorrow night, and somebody else came that night. So
that's
and that's the same thing with buyers, guys. If you find a good buyer, boy, try to close them on one of your properties or your only property very quickly. Okay, so that's great. Well, you're doing, that's a great deal. Where did you find that, Robin?
Well, these are actually it's a referral.
It's a referral. And also, I did want to comment just for the listeners online. So if Robin needs to come up with some money, since we like to do zero money down, none of our own credit, where do you think you might come up with the money, Robin?
I have no idea. Well, actually, what we're going to try to do, we're going to put a buyer in here and do that within 90 days. So that would be where the money would come from, is down payment.
Yeah, exactly. So if you can get it low enough where you can, the owner financing buyer is going to give you a non-refundable deposit.
Well, basically, if you can get 10% down, you're essentially covered here.
We're hoping to get 20% minimum with your owner financing buyer.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get 20, but 10 would cover that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And plus
and
give us a little bit, yeah.
Yes, and this is something you want to be very aggressive in, a lot of marketing on your buyers, you know, quickly. And just whenever you're marketing for your buyers, just always know the best three features of the property and just hit those and then build urgency and get them to the property, because nobody's buying a property from you unless they go see it. So your goal on that call is to get them to the property. And this is, you know, such a good deal. You could even give somebody a decent price on this house. But normally you're going to mark up, if you're selling on lease purchase, you're going to mark it up maybe 3%, 5%, something like that.
Yeah.
Right. So definitely do not hesitate. Get out there and get this, get the paperwork initialed ASAP, followed up with your real estate attorney signing. This is an awesome deal. You've got over $100,000 in equity, like $1,000 a month positive cash flow. We do these deals all day long. This is an awesome deal.
Okay, thanks.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, bye, Robin.
Bye.
Bye.
Money and in these higher-priced homes. And, we do want you guys not being afraid of these higher-priced homes and getting into the higher-priced properties. Now, Lynette was just at this event with Ron, Big Chunks.
Yeah, that was awesome. Oh,
and
goodness.
You guys were focusing on more of the luxury expensive homes, right?
Yeah, we had quite a few deals that were, you know, in the millions, $2.1 million and one was $3 million and just bigger paydays. It's the same concept, only bigger paydays. It was awesome for those of you guys that were at that event or the live simulcast.
Does that get your knees shaking, you guys, when they say $2, $3 million? The funny thing is it's the same techniques. And a lot of times people with properties in that price range are more savvy and they understand owner financing and they might be a lot more flexible than somebody who, you know, owns a $150,000 house and it's, you know, the only house they've ever owned. And when you start saying lease purchase, they don't really understand what you're talking about. That's why, guys, you always want to mirror who you're talking to. If it's somebody who owns a $2 million house, that's you're going to talk to that person a certain way. And if it's someone who is living in the house that their first house and has never invested at all or done anything, then that's, you know, you got to reflect your conversation with that. That's why we say rent to own sometimes instead of lease purchase. Okay?
Okay, I'm going to try to get Rashawn to get the next person in the queue, honey.
Okay.
Can you?
Yeah.
Okay,
Rashawn?
Next person in the queue we have is Roy. Roy, please go ahead.
Roy, okay.
Hello.
Well, hello, Roy. How
hey, Roy.
Are you doing?
Pretty good.
Is this Roy?
Roy Pate, that's right.
Okay, where are you from?
I'm from Ohio. I was at the meeting this weekend, and I talked to you a couple of times.
Oh, yes, that Roy. You didn't tell me which Roy it was. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I don't have any deal. I have a couple of questions. I guess they're like technical questions about the phone numbers and the Pat Live and the website and all of that.
And, sure. We're here to serve. Go ahead. Shoot your question.
So my question is, if you have the Pat Live account, and I believe Ron said something to the effect that you only want sellers calling the Pat Live number for the script?
Well, yeah, because with his IVR, he's all set up with CallFire and the IVR system for the buyers. So that's why Ron was saying, now you get 6 phone numbers with Pat Live to use for those sellers. Are you signed up with Pat Live yet?
I signed up today, and that's what I'm trying to do is do I want to put that number on the website, and then I use that number that they gave me from Pat Live and try to get sellers to call that number, and when they do, they'll go to Pat Live, right?
Yes, yes. Now, you own that phone number. Pat Live lets you own that phone number no matter what. So, yeah, you can put it on all your advertisement. And then Pat Live will pick up live from that. Now, Roy, have you been to the Quick Start Real Estate School yet?
I can't say.
That's like the...
No, I haven't. I've been studying the stuff, and I'm pretty sure I could make a deal. So.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you must get yourself to that Quick Start Real Estate School. I could tell right away by your questions that you had not been there yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is definitely like a next step because Ron LeGrand goes over not only the luxury home deals that you kind of got to get a taste on, but there's 8 different ways to buy and sell real estate. And he talks about all these questions that you're talking about, getting your business set up and so forth. So, but Pat Live, if you have any other questions on Pat Live specifically, I can get you in touch with the manager who runs Pat Live.
Okay.
I'm just trying to understand the relationship between all of the things that we're doing here. We need to advertise on the yellow letter, for instance, and then you're going to have them call Pat Live, or how do you drive traffic to your website, for instance, or are you trying to drive traffic there at all other than buyers that want to look at a house, I guess, right?
What we do is, first of all, you're going to use the yellow letters, and would you rather have sellers calling you or you call the seller? Who's going to be more motivated in general? Who do you think will be a more motivated seller, if the seller is calling you or you call the seller?
I think it's better if they call you, which is why I'm trying to get the yellow letters to come out now.
That's why the yellow letters are so awesome, Roy. With the yellow letter campaign, you'll drive the sellers to, they'll call in to Pat Live. Pat Live will take the basic information, their name and number and address, and then they will forward that on to your VA. Are you using Eagle VA?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So then Eagle VA will fill out the property lead sheet for you on the seller, and then you can do the closing call and negotiate the deal.
The whole key, guys, is the way this automation works, and if you have seen us, Lynette and I, at the, hopefully a lot of you guys have been to the Quick Start, and we talk about automation, and we show this chart, and it's got a flow chart of your whole business. So the whole business starts with marketing. So, and marketing is 2 things. You got to have a marketing piece. In the case of the yellow letter, that's the yellow letter, and then you got to have somebody sending the yellow letter out for you. So there's 2 little pieces. Now, every time you get somebody to do something for you, you're automating your business. People say, what's automation even mean? Well, it means automatically. It means your business runs automatically. So that's what you're shooting for. And you need to have organized systems and delegation. That's the two parts of automation. And so when you are getting Pat Live in place and when you're getting the VA, you're automating your business by delegating a bunch of tasks that you don't need to be doing. So essentially, you don't step in and talk to somebody until the closing call, until basically you have a lead sheet filled out in front of you, and then you make your call to close them. Now, in your, all your marketing, and yes, in your marketing, you should put your Pat Live number, and if you, you know, have your website up, and hopefully, guys, that's very important for credibility's sake, if nothing else, to have some website. And Ron's company will help you with that as well. So get drive them to your website, drive them to your, you know, how they can phone call or, you know, give them lots of different ways to get a hold of you. And people like to communicate in different ways too. Some people really like to call directly. That's kind of like me. Some people would never do that. They want to see a website and kind of research first before they even talk to you. So that's why you got to offer people, you know, every way to get a hold of you. And that's why you do need the website and the other ways they can contact you. Now, as soon as they contact you and indicate and raise their hand and say, hey, I'm interested, that's going to go to Pat Live. And then Pat Live will send that,
the Eagle VA.
Yeah, the basic form to the Eagle VA. Now, some of you guys I know have local assistants, like you have, if you got an office going and you have, you know, a couple people working with you in your business, the calls are obviously going to be going to them, and that's cool too, however you want to set it up. That's the cool thing about this business is, you know, you create it in your own fashion, following the guidelines that we have in place so you guys can automate and not just pick up another rat race, okay? That's not what we want.
So, Royce, who's setting up your websites for you?
I did that with the Gold Club.
Perfect.
Good job.
Yeah, and that's to do it.
And my concern right at this particular moment is if I did get a deal, I've been working on getting everything set up, just like he said. It's going to go to Pat Live, then it's going to go to the virtual assistant, then I'm going to get the lead, and I get a deal. Well, once I get a deal, then I have to find a buyer. And that's where
once again, you're set up with Eagle VA, so they have you set up with the IVR, which will capture the buyer's information.
Yeah, basically the business just starts over again. It starts over at marketing. However you put your marketing out there, you're going to have somebody put it out there for you if you can. Guys, don't underestimate the power of business cards and getting referrals from people you know. I mean, Robin's deal was a referral deal. So a lot of times you'll get deals if you just start letting people know and giving out cards and stuff. You can get deals from all different directions. Right, honey?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So to answer your question, basically it's the same machine. You set it up, you drive them to the IVR, and then from there you can send them to, once you have a live buyer and they fill out the sheet, you can go ahead and get them out to see the house on a lockbox, and once they're interested, then you get them over to your real estate attorney and sign the deal.
When you say Pat Live, when you say IVR, you're referring to Pat Live.
With the buyers, you can have the buyers' calls taken with Pat Live. They do both. They do buyer and seller, okay, if that's your question. Pat Live will do both. That's correct.
Yes. That's fine. And just in the beginning, just set it up that way. If you have a ton of calls and a lot of houses for sale, you can also set it up with an automatic voice recording where it actually guides them through your properties. And it'll talk to them. You guys have all done that, where you go through a guided, you know, talking menu.
Right, and that's what Ron has set up with Eagle VA. So, now you had a question. Did you have another question for us, Roy?
No, I think.
Well, you're doing the right things, Roy, and you're getting it going. And you know, it sounds like you're asking the right questions. I would just highly, highly recommend as soon as you can get to one of these quick starts. It's going to launch you forward a lot. Okay?
That took all my money.
Very funny.
Well, okay, so we're going to see you, and you have our contact information, so stay in touch, Roy, and I want to help you get, because it sounds like you're doing the right things and you're moving in the right direction.
We're excited to hear your testimonial letters.
Yes, it's just a matter of time here.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, who do we got in the queue? I have, is there a Joseph, a Todd, or a Rob?
I have a Bill, Adam, Mary, Carl, Jeannie, and Joe.
Okay.
Yay.
Let me go. Should
Hello.
I give you Bill up next?
Hey.
Let me go ahead and give you Bill just one moment. Bill, go ahead and state your question.
Hello.
Hello, Bill. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, Bill.
Hello. I didn't get a chance to get my my sheet in, but I can go through my scenario here.
Okay, thank you.
I have a house it's in foreclosure. It's been filed on. The arb is about 95K, and the first mortgage is 60K, and the second is 25, and my concern is they're $4,000 behind. It's a $720 payment on the first. The second is a community loan that helped them get trying to clean up the community, and there's no payment on it, but it's due at the time of the sale.
With a community bank, then? Is that what you're saying?
It's a company. I don't remember. I went through their website because the buyer or the seller wasn't exactly clear on it.
Here's the thing, guys. Technically, every mortgage that we take over subject to, it didn't used to be this way, but now they're all pretty much due on sale. So, I mean, this one might be due on sale the same way that everyone is due on sale, but nobody ever calls them due because
my point on this one is that it doesn't have a payment. There's no payment due. It's just it needs to be paid off when she sells.
Yeah, we're familiar. So let me run through the numbers. It's encumbered for $85,000. With the first and second, worth about 95, so probably worth pretty much what they owe on the property. They're in arrears by $4,000. The seller is willing to obviously sell for what's owed, correct?
Yes. It would be a subject to. And then my question could discount that $25,000 loan?
Well, remember, Bill, we don't like to take on a house unless there's no equity and no monthly cash flow. Which really there's no equity on this. It's worth real close to what they owe.
Well, let me ask you this, Bill. That's why I was trying to figure out who this second is owed to. And that's why the word community threw me. Is this a bank or what is this or whatever? So if, you know, are they in a position, or will they deal with you? Will they take $2,000? Because then you have a deal. And sometimes we've settled seconds in these kind of situations when they haven't received a payment in a long time and things aren't looking very rosy. We've been able to settle these things for oftentimes 10 cents on the dollar. So that's normally what our first offer would be.
Yes.
So in fact, I'd probably, if you can get the contact information from these people and say, and then you could maybe get a forbearance on the amount owed on the first, which basically means, you know, they put it on the end if you catch it up. I mean, you don't have to catch it up that way.
Right. They take the late fees and late payments, the $4,000, and put it on top of the $60,000 mortgage.
Yeah.
Now it's $64,000.
See, but then you would get this property for $64,000, and, you know, if the ARV is 95, you know, then this is a deal. This is a good deal. And you also have financing in place. I even probably, if I had, really had to, if I could settle that second for a grand or two or something small, I'd probably, you know, just pay the late fees and stuff. I'd try to negotiate them down, but, you know, if they wouldn't put them on the end of the loan, I'd probably end up paying those too. So, because it's that good of a deal. And again, do you know what this would rent for? Guys, are you using Rent-O-Meter?
I've used it before. I haven't looked lately on this one.
Okay, and
because the payment's $720.
It's probably at least $800 or eight. You know, probably it would probably be about $100 spread. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, so there's monthly cash flow. if we can wipe off that second mortgage for pennies on the dollar. Now, why would a person wipe it off for that? Because they know that if they go to the foreclosure steps, they're going to see nothing anyway.
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So
now I have one more question.
Do the research on that, see who's holding that note, and see what you can negotiate with them, because that would turn this into a good deal.
Yes.
Okay, how do I get them to deal with me?
Just tell them that you're interested in buying the property and that, you got to get this authorization from the seller.
Get the authorization and release information. It's a quick phone call to see if we can negotiate that $25,000. If not, then there's really nothing we can do to help them.
Right. But if you have this authorization to release information, then they'll talk to you when you're working on the deal.
Okay, great. Now, one more thing. She tried to make up some of the payments. She sent them, I think her mom or somebody gave her some money. She sent in payments, and they refused it?
Yeah.
First mortgage company?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they usually will refuse it unless you pay all of it all at once.
Yeah, that's common.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah,
I could still deal with them then. It's not a deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like Brian said, if we can wipe off that second, we'll even come in with the $4,000 because there's so much equity buying the house for $62,000 with it being worth $95,000.
The thing is, from the bank's point of view, if they're in the process of the foreclosure and they take any money, they have to start the whole process over again. So, and it just makes a mess of things. So the whole thing to pay them off in full, they'll take it, but. That's why they don't take partial payments and stuff usually.
That's right.
Okay,
well, that sounds like a good potential.
Yeah, we're excited for you, Bill. Keep us posted.
All right, thanks so much.
You bet.
You're welcome.
Who's up next?
We got Adam in the queue.
Okay, next on the line we have Adam. Adam, please go ahead.
Hello.
Well, hello, Adam. How's it going?
I'm well. How about yourself?
Wonderful.
Great.
Just a couple of questions about calling FSBOs. When I first get on the phone, they ask if I'm a buyer or a realtor. If I say I'm a buyer and later on they find out I'm an investor, they get a little moody. So I just tell them right away my company's buying homes in your area.
Well, and here's the deal. When we call them, we say that we're interested in buying a house in that neighborhood. In reality, we are buying a house, in that neighborhood. Okay.
Right.
Well, we're always interested in buying houses. Here's your posture, and people ask us this all the time. How should I go in there, and should I have an 800 number and act like I'm a big company, or should I just be, mom and pop, or what? So usually the approach that we found works best, and this is sort of along the lines of ugly signs sometimes work a lot better than beautifully pre-printed signs, is basically we say, I live in the community. You're like a neighborhood investor, okay? You live in the community. You help improve the community and make it, raise property values by helping people get into houses who normally couldn't and, help people get, sell their house the fastest and easiest way. And so you're just there to help people, help folks out. And, I know you have a house situation, Mr. Seller, and I'd love to be able to help you if I can. This is what I do. I just live one town over here, and, so I work in your area a lot. I'm real familiar with it, so I'd love to be able to help you out. And then you do your closing call. But, guys, a little bit of rapport building in the beginning will help you immeasurably down the line. Because a lot of times, you get these objections and stuff, well, who are you or how long have you been doing this or whatever. And if you kind of build a little rapport up front, that stuff just doesn't come up. And the posture that we have found in all of our thousands of students that works best, and especially because, guys, you're not a big company, so if you try to come off that way, it's not going to work anyway. So you are just, you're
right.
Yeah, you're a skilled neighborhood investor who does this. And now, guys, if they say, well, how many deals have you done or anything like that, just say, well, I'm with a group. And you can always say this, guys, you're with us. If you're on board with Ron and us, you're on board. You're with a group that does these kind of deals nationally and has done them for over 30 years.
We're very good at what we do. And here's a funny thing about that I do want to add, Brian. Just the other day, Dean ended up buying a house, He moved in it himself, and that's not even out of the question. So if you get a good enough deal and it's a gorgeous house, we have seen a lot of fellow investors call on a FSBO and end up moving in it themselves.
Now, if you're getting this reaction when you say, if they say, are you a realtor? And, guys, you know, when you're buying houses, a lot of realtors call for...
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, Brian, because we say the good news is we're not a real estate agent, so there's not like 6% commission, and you know, we can buy your house without the 6% commission, and a lot of times we can even take care of the closing costs, 2 to 3%. And then you just keep talking with the closing call.
Okay.
And, you know, we don't even... Okay, I will have to say... that there is some people have a certain prejudice because of whatever, some story of their second uncle on their mom's side who once got, you know, shafted by some real estate investor. So sometimes people have kind of a negative sort of a prejudice going in.
Yeah.
And so I don't tend to say investor. I say, you know, we're a local, we buy houses locally. We help folks with their house problems, and you know, we've been around a long time, and just everything I said before. So just go through, and just that's how we have found that our students do best.
So did that help you out, Adam?
It did.
Oh, great.
Can I ask one more thing?
Sure.
When I ask for the loan information, they say, why do you need that? You tell them, you know, listen, sometimes I pay all cash, sometimes I take over debt, buy a lease purchase, but I need to know. They'll still say, I still don't understand why you need to know that.
Right, and, you know, I mean, sometimes there's ways that we can make it work by doing something with the financing. Do you have a mortgage on the property? And, you know, so you can ask. We have, like, 10 different mortgage objection responses. If you still can't get that mortgage information after the 10 mortgage objection responses, they're just a suspect and you need to move on.
Okay.
But, you know, part of it is they are locked into the traditional mode of real estate. They, you know, and... That's why I don't like using words like creative financing or anything, but that's what we're doing. And mm-hmm. so they, you know, they don't understand why you need to know this information. So you just need to explain that it's all about financing. And so the way our business works, if we had to go out and get a new mortgage on every house we buy, we wouldn't be able to get very many houses because mortgages are expensive. But this way, you know, we don't go into all this. I'm explaining this to you guys. This is not something you go into with your sellers and stuff. But this is how we approach it. I would tell you that if you go to your sellers and just, honey, I wish everybody had this thing because I just came out with this report that's 10 mortgage objections, and it's specifically this. But if you build rapport, you'll also find you get this objection a lot less. And Ron, guys, if you have your Quick Start manual and you've been to the Quick Start, Ron has his objection right in there.
Right in it, right in the Quick Start manual. That's correct.
Yeah, and he says, you know, if you just say if you come back and you try to answer their objection and they still won't budge, then, you know, just move on.
All right. These were great questions. Thank you. I'm sure everybody enjoyed those answers.
That was real helpful. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Do we got Jeannie in the crew, in the queue? I called it queue.
In the crew and the queue.
Okay. Yes, Jeannie.
Next on the line we have is Mary. Mary, please go ahead.
Mary.
Mary.
Hi. Yes.
Oh, hello, Mary. Hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing real well, and I really am enjoying the session tonight, especially the explanation for the for sale by owner. That was very good. Okay, I've been studying with Ron for 10 years, and I've been trying to get in. Anyway, I finally got my first cash buyer. They are a little bit picky. They're looking in an area that is high priced, but they want to do a fix and flip deal. And I tried to explain to them that the area that they were looking in, it's like your pretty gated communities. They're high-priced homes. So anyway, I did go ahead and try. I've been to Craigslist. I looked at the ads. I put ads in. Okay, so I did that. I went into for sale by owner. And we live in northern Illinois. Uh-huh. It's a rural area, even the 18 miles, either way, it just is hard to deal with investing. Anyway, so there were only six for sale by owner ads, and none of them were in the price range that the buyer wanted. It was out of their price range. So
Mary, you already put a Craigslist ad saying, young couple looking to pay all cash on a home in this area with these features, please call ASAP.
Yes.
And you got no response.
Something to that effect. Well, I just started Saturday. She just called me Saturday. And she wanted me, well, you see, my ad to her was that I had properties. So she's expecting me to come up with a property. But even if I had them, they wouldn't have been in the area that they wanted.
Well, Mary, are they totally married to that one area?
So she's an unrealistic cash out buyer, honey.
Well, here's what I do. There are six for-sale buyers. I mean, you can put some flyers out, and sometimes that can be a good thing. I mean, if you know it's a very specific area that they want to live in, but if it's gated communities, flyers are a little tricky sometimes. But somehow you can do postcards into a certain area too. Now, if that's a super desirable area, if you can just hit that area a little bit with a little bit of marketing, yellow letters and like that. And this may be a case where you actually just tailor your yellow letters to a zip code. And normally I don't, I usually want you to use some kind of a targeted list. But in this case, if it's a small area and it's very desirable, even if you find a house and these people have moved on, there'll probably be interest in this area.
And that, Mary, that's when you go back to the buyer, the cash out buyer, and you say, this is what you can get for this price. Here you go.
Right.
And see if they get more realistic.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you do anything with REOs?
Real estate owner. Now, obviously, you got to pay all cash, so you have to have your private lending lined up. We submit quite a few REO offers.
I will tell
you. And go ahead, honey.
Is there a formula for that?
Mary, this is really specific to your area. I will tell you that in some areas, like if you go to the auction or if you, are trying to buy REOs, there's lots. There's plenty to pick from but in some areas there's less. So, you can go and start looking through the MLS. Everybody should have a realtor on their dream team. And if you don't have a real estate license or if you're not a realtor, you need a realtor on your dream team who can start watching for REOs for you. If your area is lucrative for REOs, you guys should be putting in REO offers on a regular basis. So that's something that you're going to need a realtor to do because all this stuff goes through realtors now. Now, we didn't used to use realtors for quite a few years there when the market was real hot. But now that there's so much foreclosure and short sale action and realtors are very involved with these deals, you're going to be working with realtors a lot more. So that's a good thing because, guys, if you get a short sale, I want you to not be babysitting this. Have your realtor babysit it and find one realtor if you run into short sales and you start putting some under contract, you can just turn them over to the realtor and they'll sit there and babysit it and they don't get paid unless the thing goes through. And so, they'll give you updates and that and then they'll either close it or they won't. And if they do, hey, great. So that's there's a lot of good ways to work with realtors and REOs is one like you're talking about here.
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, Mary, because it's a very common question.
Okay. When they bring me a house that I'm interested in, is there a formula or do I just have to accept what they're asking?
You want to fill out the lead property information sheet. And obviously,
you're talking about REOs now, right?
Yes.
You're talking about these REOs, Mary?
Yes.
Oh, REOs. Okay.
So if you're talking about an REO, they will bring you possibilities from the MLS. Remember, everybody can see the MLS. So, you might have some competition on these kind of properties out there. So if you get a good agent, they'll be right on top of it, and they'll be actually looking for stuff on a regular basis for you. And then if they bring you stuff, you got to be ready with the money, and you got to put in an offer. And usually banks, when you're buying these REOs, they want a deposit, and you're not getting that deposit back.
Yes.
So, you got to be ready to go, and you got to, you got to have your funding source. And you
I'm glad you brought that up, Ryan, because the private lender is going to tell you what kind of LTV, loan to value, that you'll be looking for so that you know what kind of offer to submit in your area.
But, guys, go by Ron's Mayo formula. You all know that.
ARV.
Yeah, ARV, you know, it's...
3% minus repairs equals maximum allowable offer.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys that's got what that? I was wondering.
ARV times 70%. Now, some areas we do ARV times 60% minus repairs, but it depends on your area, on those REOs.
So it's after repaired value. You can say market value or whatever, but ARV, after repaired value, times 70% minus whatever the repairs are. So if you think there's 10,000 repairs and it's a $200,000 house, so ARV would be, it's 200,000 times 70%, so that's 140 minus, let's say it needs 10,000 repairs, so it'd be 130 would be Mayo. So you can't offer more than that. Now, depending on how these properties are going, and when you get the right realtor, they'll tell you. They'll say, look, if you put this in, it's a waste of time for everybody, and you look...
A lot of them say that, yeah.
And but they know their market. You get a realtor who puts these in on a fairly, you know, regular basis, and you'll be, they'll guide you as much as you need, and you need a proof of funds letter, and you need the funds because you're going to close on this thing. And then your exit strategies, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can get out, but remember, your money's tied in or somebody's money is tied into this. Now, if you know... If,
that's a good point, honey. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, we got a couple people in the queue. I wondered if we can grab a couple more callers.
So that's a
Thank
quick
you.
Overview on REOs, guys.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay, we got quite a few people in the queue here.
Okay, next in the queue we have is Carl. Carl, please go ahead.
Hey, Carl.
Hi, Carl. Hi.
Hi, where are you from?
Springfield, Missouri.
All right.
Awesome.
About an hour from Branson, if you know where Branson is, most people do.
Of course we do.
We just did one of our Taking Action Communication workshops in Branson a couple months ago, and it was great. So, guys, remember, we're the Wolf Couple. If you haven't heard about us or seen us, we're on the Gold Club in certain places, and we've been around with Ron, actually doing quick starts with Ron for over 10 years. So you'll always see us at all the quick starts. We do these live seller calls at all the quick starts, too. So bring in leads. And remember, if you've been to the Quick Start Real Estate School, you can come back for free for 1 year, $500 after 1 year. And it's a great refresher course. There's always new things going on. And we got one coming up in Pittsburgh here actually this week. And there's plenty on the schedule. So keep track of that. It's a great refresher course if you can get to one of those. And, of course, like I said, you'll see Lynette and I there.
Okay.
You know what? Let's take who is...
Carl, what's your question, Carl?
Well, I have a couple questions. My first question is that my wife and I are just getting started. And we have read and watched videos, and we just don't know what to do first. Build a team or, you know, build a website or cards or flyers or what we should do first.
I would say first go to the Quick Start Real Estate School. No, I'm kidding. Well, you have not been to the school, right?
You been to it?
No, we have not.
That's where it's sort of the basic training for real estate investing. But I'm telling you right now, it's you need to get cards. You need to get, research this yellow letter. There's tons of stuff on the Gold Club. And obviously everybody on this call is on the Gold Club. There's so many resources there. But you're right, this kind of a step-by-step, like what do I do next? I'm telling you, the main thing you need to do is, like I say all the time, guys, there's two things. Even if you've never done a real estate deal yet, I will consider you. I'm giving you permission to consider yourself a successful real estate investor if two things are happening. One, you have lead flow coming through. I'm going to say at least five leads a week.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, Carl, lead flow. So even if you get on the phone, type in for sale by owner, go to Zillow, go to Craigslist, start calling some FSBOs.
Okay.
Have you done that yet?
No, we haven't. We haven't done anything except read some books and watch some videos, and that's really about it. We're just getting started.
Well, I'd like
that's great.
Call some FSBOs. I mean, because obviously Eagle VA, when you can hire a virtual a VA like that, they can do the outbound calls for you. But it's kind of good practice for yourself to call some FSBOs first to kind of see what they go through. Because like Brian said, number one is lead generating.
Mm-hmm. And then number two is just trying to close the deals. Now, I don't know how many of you guys have closing calls of Ron's or ours, like the scripts for those. We have a whole set of scripts on closing calls of all the different kinds of deals Ron has. This would really help you, obviously, because you got to be saying something when you're doing these closing calls. So hopefully you guys either have that or can get to the quick start where, you know, we have that. And Ron has tons of scripts in his manual and everything to help you guys along. Basically, you just got to try to get as many leads going as you can and just try to be closing them. Now, obviously, you need to understand a few things, like how does a subject to deal work? And, you know, and how does, you know, how do I structure it and how do I explain it to them and that kind of thing. And that's why that basic quick start is so good, because that's what that gives you.
Okay.
Okay.
Could I ask one more question?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. So we live near Springfield, Missouri, and, you know, we're within a couple hours of Kansas City and St. Louis and Joplin and Branson and all that. Is there somewhere on Ron's site we could go to see, like, where we might have the best chance of getting started as far as areas to pick, you know, to go and look at homes and that sort of thing?
Here's what I want you to do. Right now you're wide open, right? You could start your farm area. This is what we call a farm area, and this is an important decision because when you want to pick an area that's an active area, so you're going to have to do a little research, and you can talk to realtors in your area, and you probably, I mean, I don't want to send you on some big, huge road trip, but if you already have specific areas in mind, it wouldn't be a bad idea to maybe drive around there. I want you to pick housing that's it's for sure over 150, unless you want to work ugly houses too. If you have an affinity for ugly houses, that's okay. But you might want to have two farm areas then.
Away from the war zones, of course.
Yeah, and you might have a housing, you know, that's like $100,000 average house price or whatever, because your comfort zone is in there. But as soon as possible, break out of that comfort zone and find another farm area that's like maybe $250 and up.
A luxury home.
Yeah, or at least like $200 and up. Because you're just going to make more money if the houses are more expensive. So I want you, when you're trying to pick your farm area, guys, number one thing I look for is school district, because a lot of what you're selling to is families, is younger families, and, you know, these people care what high school their kids go to and all that. So, and you can't lose if you got a great school district. So that's what I always say. That's one thing you want to focus on. And just you want to, when you start talking to these realtors, ask them, and here's a key thing, write this down, DOM. This is days on market. So you ask them how many days on market the average property is in, you know, blank area. They can do it by, they can run all these reports and stuff by area. So they could just say, okay, well, these houses in this one area, the days on market is 30 days, average is 30 days. Okay, that's really good. That's a very active market. That's fast. That would be in the range of something you're interested in. If they say the average days on market is 90 days in this area, that's not such a great area. Okay, so those things help you pick your farm area. And then, you know, just your own taste and where you want to work. And then, guys, when it comes right down to it, it's trial and error. You start working in an area, and, you know, if you get great results, you stick with that area. If you get medium results, you might want to try another area. But, you know, it's trial and error when you get down to. But once you pick a hot area, pretty much, you know, you're set up, and you just got to start, you know, moving forward.
Yeah, and Carl, like Ron says, you know, this works everywhere. Okay, he likes you to start 30 minutes away from where you live, a good farm area, generally speaking, because you can drive within 30 minutes. But this real estate works everywhere. He always makes a joke how it's going to work everywhere but where you live. So you can start out with a closer farm area, and then you can branch off, like you said.
Yeah, and like when Mary and us were talking, she needs a bigger farm area. So if you're in a small town area, it's better if you have an area where it's at least 30,000 people, and bigger cities is good. But, guys, if you are in a bigger city, like we're in the Phoenix area, there's no way we can work this whole area. So you're gonna find your work in one end of town, and usually it's by your end of town. It is nice if it's close. So
that's a good point. Carl, did you have another quick question? We're kind of running out of time here.
No, that was it. I just wanted to get some ideas where we should start.
All right.
You know,
well, get your card made up. Get your card made up. Get a website. Look into some more of these offers on the Gold Club.
Call some FSBOs.
Yeah, and it really seriously, the sooner rather than later, get to a quick start school. It'll really give you the basis that you need to move forward too.
That'll be awesome.
Right. We'll see you there.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
You're welcome. Bye, Carl. You know what, honey? It's actually the time is up on the. I know there's people in the queue, but we have to run. We have another appointment. So. This was a phenomenal call. I really enjoyed this a lot. These were great questions.
I loved talking to you guys. And like I said, you'll see us at all the Quick Starts. We're at every one of Ron's Quick Starts. And we have this big summit coming up now. So we really want to see you there. Actually, Ron and us just shot a little video that talks about the summit. And you'll see that on the Gold Club, actually, maybe as early as tomorrow. So check that out. It's really funny, and it kind of talks about the summit when it is. It's in Orlando, September 3rd through the 7th, and we'll be there the whole time, and it's a lot of fun, and Ron is going to actually teach 10 different classes, it's going to be a fabulous event. And so if you can get there in Orlando, September 3 through 7, that would be great. And, of course, obviously, I'm a big, huge believer in Ron's system and the Quick Start, and that's how all of our success stories have gotten started.
And we would love to see you at the Great American Real Estate Summit and Expo. Like Brian said, it's on the Gold Club. You can sign up there, but it's going to be phenomenal, and you can look forward to that. Should I tell them a little bit what we did with Ron on that?
No, let it be.
Okay, it's a surprise. You're going to love this little video. That we did with Ron the Ground. So anyway, we want to thank you very much for being on this call.
Yep, good job, guys. And, you know, it keeps your head in the game when you keep yourself exposed to the good information. So stay tapped into the Gold Club site, Ron and us, and keep your eyes on the prize.
This is the Wolf Couple over and out.
Yep, bye-bye, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.